No, they're all right then. Thank you so much for playing for us, Sayan, and it's so wonderful to be with us in the evening. You do have notes who are written, and so in your home you can read them. What we're going to do is do the study here from my scratch paper that I sent first note to the school in Oxford, and then they refine it and they send it back to me, and then I change it and back to them, and then they get the final. But I want to share with you my notes, okay? My study, my workout studies. And so you need to go to the book of Revelation today. We're going to complete these studies in Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. As you know, the key in the book of Revelation is that the only book in the Bible that comes with an outline not made by man, but made by God. It's in Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 19. The outline of the book is written by God and not by man. We read in Revelation 1:19, write, Jesus giving instruction to John the disciple, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which thou art, and the things which shall be hereafter. So here are the three steps on the outline. First, look backwards and write the things that you have seen in the world, in the state of the world. Then write the things of the state of the church until the very end. And then write the things that will take place eventually in earth and in heaven. And so we study all the way chapter 2, chapter 3, what the churches will be doing till Christ come. In chapter 4, the glorious introduction to a heavenly scenario. And now we go on and on and on in the heavens. Also, I said that these studies are in reference to John and the last chapter on the Gospel of John, when Jesus said to John, what if I want these to remain to the end? And a lot of people said, well, that's a failure, John died. Really, remain to the end means that Jesus said, John will know the end and will be a part of. And so this is the only man in the whole earth that saw the end of this universe and the beginning of the new universe. And we are stepping into heaven and the events of heaven in the book of Revelation. And for the first time, I got a clue inside, and I'm by the mercy of God, I got this free hook up with the Oxford University, where a professor in English will polish the writing and a professor of theology will discuss with me what I want to say. And he says, I spent 4 or 5 hours in every page with the university, free of charge. What a great thing to do. And writing these theses to get my philosophy degree here. All right, now, here's what it is. And in Revelation chapter 5, verses 1 to 14, is known in theology as the sealed past tense books, because it's mentioned over there. All right? Now, verse 1, what are the seven books? Look, they were sealed. Now, let me show you chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw, and I'm using the King James Version, and because you have to use a standard Bible. They have been the groundwork of every place, and then change here and there a word. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, remember we saw the 24 elders on the throne, now he said, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. So John is not saying there will be this, there will be the other. He said, I saw, okay? This is not a dream. He's transported into heaven past the rapture, and he's seeing this book over there. And so what is these sevenfolds books? And what they contain, all right? You go with me to the left in your Bible to the book of Ephesians, and there you will find out what God reveals in the scripture about sealing something. You know, you seal something until the day that I will be opening. And in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14, you have the revelation of what is on those books. And whom, said verse 13, ye also trust, after that ye heard the word through the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of the promise. When a person really believes, the heart is sealed. All right, and what is it? Verse 14. Which is the earnest, said the King James Version, which is the down payment or deposit of our inheritance until the redemption. So when a person believes, the Holy Spirit sealed that as a down payment until everything is purchased totally. So a believer is partially purchased. Well, you saw something in the window, and you said, "Oh, I like that." And said, "Well, you can what do they call it in America? You lay away." We lay away. How much you want? Well, I want 10% of the value. Say, it's $100. I give you $10 to lay away this until I come back and give the whole payment. And that's what he's talking about here. He says, well, here is a believer. Okay, the Holy Spirit says, I give you a down payment. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. Now, these are legal documents, so there is a legal document at the issue of the moment of salvation, and it's issue the down payment done until the day of redemption. So there is a possession that need to be redeemed as the believers. The believers on this earth are not completely redeemed until that possession is paid in full, all right? And what is this possession? All right, Romans chapter 8 will help us to know it. Romans chapter 8 and verse 22 and 23 talks about that possession that need to be completely paid off. Verse 22, for we know, Romans 8, 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves, the first fruit of the Spirit is a down payment, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is to say, the redemption of our body. We are waiting that one day is a payoff, and my body will never die. Again, but it needs to be purchased, all right? So something was lost, the mankind and earth, said here. Look at verse 22, said the whole creation groaneth. The whole creation is lost. Mankind, we ourselves, he said, verse 23, is lost. Now, what he's talking about? What did he refer to? Refer to the first book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, in chapter 3 and verse 17, the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 17. All right? And God said unto Adam, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Curse is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And so that's where you have weeds and trouble, all right? And you see the fields that they are not work out, boy, the things come up that you never planted over there. And then they have to plow that and work it out again. So the thing that was completely, the whole creation was ruined by the fall. Not only that, we ourselves too. Genesis 3, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face, this God said to Adam, shall thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for thus thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. This body of ours is gone. It's terrible. And Adam called his wife name Eve, because she was the mother of all living, and to Adam also, and unto his wife. The Lord God made coats of his skin and clothed them. God shed blood and covered them. Then the Lord said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man and placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and flaming swords, which turn every way to keep the way of the tree of life. We studied what the cherubims there was. And so God said, here is what is lost. The creation is lost. Mankind is lost. Now, the title of the creation and the title of mankind pass out of his hand unto Satan. And Satan is in possession of this. Amazing. The Bible said it's going to be redeemed. So in Revelation 5, the forfeited title deed is in God's hand awaiting redemption. Until Revelation 5, the possession of this earth and the possession of every individual is in the hands of Satan, and he possesses it. When that person becomes a believer, now there is a down payment to redeem that possession. And so, in Revelation 5, we see the scenario that in the hands of the one sitting on the throne is the title deed of all the people that he will save, and including the earth, is in God's hand at that moment. All right? He's awaiting the redemption. God is awaiting that somebody qualified to pay for that. That means the legal repossession of all the Adam laws. Where Adam lost in Genesis 3, God has a down payment to repossess that, and God is waiting for somebody to come in and to pay. Now remember, an angel cannot do it. It has to be a human being, because a human being made the mess. So here is what we see here. The law provides that a kinsman may redeem a lost possession. And I'm just going to refresh your mind in the law. The book of Leviticus is the one who speaks of that. And for example, we can go to Leviticus 25. So God giving you a picture of what he's going to do in Revelation 5 to redeem people, give instruction to Israel that you need, there is a way to repossess something lost. Now, there is something that's going to come up here for you in Leviticus chapter 25, starting in verse 23, and I'm going to read a long section to verse 34, and it's this, they're going to surprise you, that God do not want any Israelite to say, this is my land, 20 feet here, 100 feet here, this is my land. He said, nobody's land is that, it's mine, it's just borrow. So you don't have to be so dramatic to hurt your brother. If he cannot pay you, you take the land away. No, but it's my land. This wall is mine. And you're just living there. And so God very graphically described this. Look at verse chapter 25 in the book of Leviticus, starting in verse 23. The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. For ye are the strangers and sojourners with me. See, God reminded you that this land of ours, I bought 300 acres. Well, God owns the 300 acres. And if you cannot pay, your brother cannot take it because it's God's land. Boy, no wonder the Israelite never poor. Never poor. I watch life in this church, in the life of Camille Baum. We have become good friends. Brother Greg and Maria has become good friends. And it's very hard for a Jew to be a friend of a Gentile, because a Gentile is possession-minded. I got this car, I got this. And a Jew is God's-minded. Even an unbeliever Jew wants to have that freedom. And no Greg, no myself wants anything for what she has. And she keeps talking She said, you people are so good, and I owe nothing, she said. All belong to God. Even in the heart of, I think, an unbeliever, in the way we think as a believer, is that in their mind. Whatever I possess is not mine. We don't have that mind, don't we? We say, oh, I bought this and I bought the other. And God said, don't think in that way. Verse 24, and in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. If thy brother be waxen poor and has sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then shall he redeem that which his brother sold. In other words, there is a way that you can recover what you lost. And that's a picture of heaven. God, the owner, is going to recover what is lost when somebody come and pay the price. This is the picture of Revelation 5, and God gave us a picture here, verse 26. And if the man have none to redeem it, and himself be able to redeem it, then let him count the years of the sale thereof, and restore the overplus unto the man to whom he sold it, that he may return to his possession. In other words, nobody had to redeem it. He counted, and that's a reference to the seven-year law, and he says, yours back to you, and so on. Boy, verse 28, but if he be not able to restore it to him, then that which is sold shall remain in the land, in the hand of him that had bought it until the year of Jubilee. Remember the 7 years. And in the Jubilee it shall go out, and he shall return unto his possession. So every 7 years, whatever accounts you owe money to this and the other is canceled, and everybody back into their own place. Because it is not your land, it is not your possession, it's mine, say the Lord. But he drilled that into the Jewish people. And they think in that way, and that's why they watch the Gentiles. And that's what Camille told me. This church, really, she said, these people, really believe. You and Greg really believe. It made me cry. Because she's watching careful, examining whatever Greg, go and help her over there. She examines, she's reading you all over. And this is a Jew protecting himself from the invader. And we go over there, we don't want anything from you. We want you, you're a widow, and we owe you our care. Boy, it made me so happy to be a pastor in that way. And she said to Raquel, and I'm always careful to go with my wife, and Raquel, and she said, it's unbelievable. She said, I cannot, she, in her mind, she cannot conceive that a Gentile do not want anything from her. Just want what you need. We're here to help you. The little things we do in life, brother and sister, really count. Really count. Verse 29. And if a man sell a dwelling house in a valley, in a walled city, then he may redeem it with a whole year after it is sold. Within a full year may be redeemed. And if he not redeemed within the space of a full year, then the house that is in the valley, walled city, shall be established forever. To him that bought it through his generation, it shall not go out of the Jubilee. But the house of the villages which have no wall around about, then shall be counted as the fields of the country. They may be redeemed, and they shall go out in the Jubilee. No standing, verse 32, the cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possession may the Levites redeem at any time. And if a man purchase of the Levite, then the house that was sold and the city of his possession shall go out in the year of Jubilee, for the house of the cities of the Levites are their possessions among the children of Israel. But the field of the suburbs of their cities may not be sold, for it is in their perpetual possession. So the Levites were the servants of God. Not only they own a house, they own a city. This is how God cared for his servants. All right. Now, what I read that, to give you an idea, that there is a law in the Bible providing for the repossession of things back to their own ownership. And so when you go back to Revelation 5, you find that now this is going to take place. In Revelation 5, who is the king's man that will come and pay for the possession? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. has to be a human being, because a human being has committed the crime. A human being has to do the salvation. Someone of the family of Adam, someone from them. This is why the virgin birth story in Matthew 1:18-21 is so important. Because Christ was all human, he cannot qualify. He had to be a man who has a pure spirit from the beginning of life, a man who is clean inside out. Jesus paid this price. What is the price for redeeming the souls of all of this? Well, Hebrews 9:22 tell you the price. Hebrews 9:22 will tell you the price that need to be paid in order to redeem the souls of everyone that God had in their sealed book. Here it is. Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law, refers to the book of Leviticus, purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. There has to be the shedding of blood in order to be redeemed. But they, no any blood, there has to be a blood that has no sin. They have not sinned. Where do you find that? You find that in 1 Peter chapter 1. So if you are in Hebrew, you move to the next one, and that's 1 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 18 to 20, the Bible give you the value of Jesus' blood as a lamb. 1 Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, from your way of life, received by tradition from the fathers. In other words, we inherit children, and those children inherit the sin of ours and keep on. He said, that sin was not removed by you bringing an offering to the church, silver and gold. No. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without a spot. That's a reference to Exodus 12 and verse 5 and to John 29. Here is the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. In other words, the redemption story is this. Somebody need to come with blood clean from the very beginning. And if you are an inheritance of human beings, you cannot qualify because Adam was a sinner. And Romans 5:12 said, therefore all his descendants have sinned. Romans 5:12. So how you solve it? Well, there had to be a human being that had no connection with Adam. The only human being that had no connection with Adam is Jesus. He says the sperms that brought Jesus to life were not human, were divine. So now, nobody has claimed yet what need to be redeemed. When the time come, Jesus will do it. He need a clue. The time is in Revelation chapter 5. And we go over there. That for Jesus to do it, he need a clue from the Father to do so. The time then is Revelation chapter 5. Where all the believers are in heaven. All the people are in heaven. The rapture took place and all the believers are there. But they are not yet redeemed. So, the Seven Seals book is the title deed of Ephesians 1:13-4. And I saw, Revelation 5:1, in the right hand of him that sat on the throne, a book written within and on the backside, sealed with the seven seals. Here is a book written with the name of every believer on this universe that have been redeemed from the very creation of the world is in the hands of God. Now, verse 2 tell us that an angel give a clue for Jesus to step in. Look at verse 2. And I saw a strong angel claiming, strong means an angel in power and category, claiming with a loud voice, perhaps the archangel Gabriel, perhaps something else, Michael. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seal thereof? And to me, that was the clue that Jesus needed to say, this is the time. Because remember, everything is done in order. You read Genesis 1, and the creation was done in order. And so salvation in heaven will be done in order. So Jesus hear that. See, who is it? Who is it that is going to redeem this? Now notice in verse 3, no man qualified to do so. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. So there is no one to qualify to do it. See? So John is seeing all of these. A human being, John, is seeing, without knowing the rest. You and I know the rest. But John, remember, is writing at that moment. He is seeing that. And he sees that we are completely lost. So what he does, he cried. Look at verse 4. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the books, neither to look thereon. I was desperate. Here is the moment of total salvation and cannot be reached. And now remember, he's just seeing it one scenario after a scenario. And so what are we going to do? Now, verse 5, identify the Redeemer. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Remember, we studied the composition of the tribes and the tabernacle. Each one has a title. Each one has a banner. The tribe of Judah, said verse 5, the root of David, that's a reference to Jesus, have prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seal thereof. So now we identify the one that can do it. Has to be one who have been prophesied, the root of David. Has to be one who have been sealed from Abraham's words when he said to Judah, from thou will come the scepter of glory. And it's happened. Now, Revelation 5, 6, John looked and saw something he has not seen before. A land that is slain. Look at verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, is to the Lamb, as it has been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. I'm very sure that John was trying to look for a lion of the tribe of Judah in his splendor and glory, and he saw a lamb. And now, in chapter 4, he's on the throne over there, and he's seeing the elders of the Old Testament. He's seeing the elders of the New Testament. And I thought to myself, why John saw the elders and did not saw the Lamb? Because the Lamb was seated with the Father. Look at here in Hebrews chapter 1. Just a little bit back from Revelation. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. And I tell you where Jesus is now. And until that moment of celebration, the Bible tells us about Jesus' position. God, who has sundry time, I'm reading Hebrews 1:1, and in diverse manner, is spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in these last days, I mean from the resurrection on, it's called the last days, spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who, verse 3, bring the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, I mean when he died, sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high. So that's what Jesus is. And so that's why, answer my question, the I question myself, how come in chapter 4, John is in heaven, he's all around, he's seeing the elders, and he writes a complete description of the elders, but he never talk about these. It's because he was not able to see the throne. Now John looked for a lion, and so, a lamb. Now, there are two things at this moment before I reveal the rest that I want you to know. A lion was the title, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. A lamb is the work of Jesus. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah, that is the title of Jesus in heaven. He's not the baby who died. He's the Lion. When the Bible refers to the Lamb, that's his work. That's what God required, a Lamb without sin. All right? So now, after redeemed and after resurrected in heaven, Jesus then take part in the celebration. Verse 7. And he is the Lamb. So when people read verse 6 and say, oh, there is a Lamb in heaven, an animal. No, no, no. Verse 7, and he refers to the Lamb. So that is the description of his work. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now remember, the four beasts were the four cherubim, the four guardians of the throne of God. Fell, look at what they said, down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odor, which are the prayers of the saints. And it's just amazing. You have prayed for people to be saved. They're there. And now it's a celebration. Now the redemption is complete. Now we don't have to worry anymore in heaven about how God's going to pay for this and pay for the other. The name of those who have been redeemed are in the book of life. And now the book of life is opened by the greatest of the greatest, Jesus Christ. And the Son, verse 9, is new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God king and priest, and we shall reign on the earth, in the new earth. That's talking about the new earth. And we shall reign on the earth. In other words, the earth is back to normal, is back to creation. And we're going to be there in that earth with a new creation, no longer seen in our life, no longer seen on the earth. It's going to be the utopia. And John is seeing that. Whew. Can you imagine? John is seeing this is happening in the future. No wonder John never felt sorry for himself being in Patmos. I think he was so happy. He's seeing the very end. Now, verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the numbers of them, those 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, that such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lived forever and ever. Now, this is what is Revelation 5. A glimpse of that historical moment to come when you and I will be totally free forever. And when everyone that the Holy Spirit has paid the down payment is going to be paid in full. And we want to be free forever. The earth is going to be paid in full. And so God can make a new earth and it's clean. See, that's why Revelation 21 is not talking about the remodelization of rebuilding of the earth, of remodeling of the earth. It's talking about the new heavens and the new earth. These new things that God's going to make pure as was at the beginning. Because somebody paid. I guess I get a big appreciation of Jesus' salvation. I asked myself, my professor asked me, now that you know, he said, what is what you really want to say to me? It's in the chat, you know. And I said, I just want to say, I'm in shock. I'm really appreciate my salvation more. See, people who, he asked me a question about Pentecostals. He said, why the Pentecostals think that they have to do something to be saved? I said, I guess they don't know Revelation 5. He said, there is a word for that, and the word is ignorance. When a person is ignorant of this book, you may be knowing, you may be a medical doctor, you may be this, but when you are ignorant of this book, boy, how many mistakes we make, don't we? So may God, I said, Lord, thank you. Now I know that I do not make any collaboration to my salvation. My belief is already guaranteed by a payoff of the Spirit, and my full pay, I don't have to worry about it, is going to be done. Not by me, not by what I can do, but by the one who saved me. He's going to give me his blood. So I, Gabriel Lutero, a sinner, be saved. I thought, God, now I'm old, I really understand it. Thank you. Father, thank you. We really understand it. John had pictured us how wonderful a life will be. Lord, I thought when I was studying in my office, I don't know if I can sing, but I will say amen and amen and thank you for my salvation. In Jesus, we thank you tonight. Amen. God bless you. For those who are on the internet, God bless you, and God give you a wonderful week ahead. Till Wednesday, that we meet again.